Just like you say, if I'm going to make 100 calls today and I don't do anything, I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm going to be, oh my God, this is not going to happen.
And so last year, our agency was able to get best in company with the company that we work with, right? What's the magic, right? I get
up and nothing gets me. Boom! Down. Who do we have today?
So today we have Mr. Eddie Milan. What living room am I sitting in? So how did you go about that? Like what were the daily what did you do on a daily basis? How did you build it up?
You need a process in place.
I'd like to pick both of your brains because we're talking about the agent and then the financial rep, right? There was one piece of advice you'd give to an agent coming in.
You know, people think greed.
Buckle up. It's the Insurance Dudes Podcast.
So before we get started, we have a couple questions for you. One is, what living room am I sitting in that was an 80s sitcom?
Jeez. I don't know.
I'll name one of the characters, Tootie.
Oh, boy. You take the good, you take the bad.
What is that? The mayor. I have so many things going through my head right now.
Clooney was on it, actually. The Facts of
Blair.
Life.
What about Blair?
Blair.
There you go.
That's right. Cool, cool. Well, awesome. It's funny because so Craig and I were talking and we were talking about life and financial products. And I mean, that's what you do in our agency. So I said, let's just put this all together. And we've talked about having you on here forever. And it's, I don't know why we haven't, but, yeah. So, Eddie, what's your background, man? Like, how did you get started in the game of life, retirement, and all that stuff? Take us all the way back.
Well, I think I grew up in a business family, so it's always about business. So
yeah.
Then you grew up with fundamentals such as people, process, and profit. So yep. Basically, you know, you want to make more money, work less. And then it comes to a point where it's not so much about a paycheck. It's about individual. How far can you go as a person? That's how I see it nowadays.
And what got you into the business? Like, what were you doing prior to doing any kind of life and retirement and financial services? What brought you into the business? And what was like the beginning? Like, what was the struggles and everything that you went through?
Well, basically, I used to work for corporate. I was a franchisee consultant. Just business, you know, a bunch of numbers, make sure the numbers look good and go for it. So that was that. Then after that, I decided not to work for corporate, just be independent on my own. So I do have different backgrounds, right? Business, consulting, tax advising, I'm a real estate broker, you know, just to get all that knowledge. And then I find out that financial services pays more than anything else out there.
Mm.
So I went that direction.
And who was the first company that you worked for and how did that go?
It was kind of like a brokerage thing. And then I went into New York Life for the training purposes. So basically they pay for a master's degree, you know, basically they pay for all your schooling, the training and all that. But all I just want just the, a little bit of a knowledge and see to explore the financial side. And that was it.
A master's degree in hustle.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. They have a crazy training program, right?
They do. I mean, they invest a lot of money into it for the first 3 years, probably over 200,000.
Wow. Per person.
That's crazy.
Yeah, per person. And they pay us as much as you really want to get educated on, you know, so people take advantage.
Mm-hmm. So what was that training? What do you get for a $200,000 per person training program?
It's just all education, pretty much. You know what I mean? It's not really, they don't really give you the blueprints on how to be successful. They give you kind of like the numbers. Here it is. Apply it if you're disciplined enough. And that's it, man. It just basically gives you a more knowledge in products and how you can help business individuals and all that scenario, but they don't give you the blueprints that I created throughout my years and experience. A process, right. In other words, they don't really give you a process for you to be successful.
So what do they give you? Just like a giant manual and some courses?
Pretty much.
And what were some of the takeaways? Like what were the big, I mean, how did they have such success with their brokerage? Like what was their secret sauce doing the life and retirement?
Basically they give you, you know, once you start, they start you with the Project 200, which mm-hmm. is a name flow leads that you need to call. So with that, you know, of course, if you start calling 200 people, you're going to make some appointments and see some people and make some sales. That's basically what they do for you. They don't show you how to get those people. And it's very mm-hmm. simple. To me, it's like, look around. Who do you see around you? People.
Right.
So if you don't make money, it's because you don't want to make money, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's
so how did you do that? So that's I've always been enamored by the let's just say life insurance side in general, because they don't pay you hourly.
Right.
They just say, hey, join us, learn all this stuff for free. Don't do anything for a paycheck and go find people, sign them up, and then you can make some money.
Well, I mean, are you specifically asking a New York Life or individually myself?
Well, So how did you handle that scenario? Because I wouldn't have handled that well.
I looked at it this, right? If I worked for corporate, which I did, I mean, I was making really good money, but there is a cap to it, right? When you're on your own, the sky is the limit. So which one would you go?
Right. I think that there's like this division, right, of different the way that people operate. Right. There's a group of people, and probably it's the majority, that love that corporate job. They love that security and they want to sit in that box, and they're good with that. You know, it's correct. Like if I'm in the box, I am freaking pounding the walls. I can't handle it. You know, I have to be in that position where there's the stress of if I screw up, that's it. Right. There's no net, you know, like I'm not going to get yelled at by the boss. I'm going to lose everything. Right. So, and that's what you left. You left that security knowing that there's that potential. How was that?
Yeah, I was like 24, 25 years when I left that, making over $120,000 a year.
Uh-huh. Which in California is like making 15 grand here.
Something.
Well, no, I'm then, just kidding. No. I'm just kidding.
Years,
yeah.
Over 20 years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that's a ton, right? So you left a really
good money.
Uh-huh.
But I figure, why am I making money for somebody else if I can do it for myself?
Right.
You know what I mean? And then after that, it's like, what exactly do you need to make money? You need people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Fortunately, in this planet, we're surrounded with people.
That's true.
So if you don't make money, it's because you don't want to. I mean, I look to the right, there's people. I look to the left, there's people. Front, back, anywhere, there's people. So you can make as much as you want.
Awesome.
So that's what I pretty much, you know, like. I like to be in control of my own future.
So how did you go about that? Like what were the daily what did you do on a daily basis? How did you build it up?
You need a process in place. That's the number one thing. You need to have a process. I don't care how good you are or how bad you are. If you don't have a process, you're not going to make it. But if you do have a process, you are going to make it. And I base everything on the numbers, on the outcome, right? So if I make 100 calls a day, I know how many appointments I'm going to get, and I know how many closers I'm going to get. So I control that.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, just do adjustments to make it better, easier, and more profitable. That's basically my biggest, I guess, number one rule. You need a process in place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you do, whether you're selling hamburgers or Chinese food or
anything,
you know, anything. It's the same thing. We were talking about this earlier today on a call. We were helping some agents with things, and it's the same thing. You know, on the PNC side, you have, you know, the number of dials, the number of contacts, the number
same
of
quotes,
the number of sales. Same thing, right? With everything, there's a pipeline. And the beautiful thing about that is once you really have an understanding of your funnel, whatever your funnel is, then you know if if you make 6,000, if you make 600 dials and you only have three contacts, well, you know, you have a data problem, right? You know that the people that you're calling, that the list you're calling on is just no good. So you can adjust, you know, and then if you're down at the end of the funnel with the high intent, you've moved it down and nothing's happening down there. Uh-oh, you have a sales problem, right? You don't know how to close. And so it's beautiful that once you've laid this process out, it makes it real simple, you know? And I think that a lot of, especially younger guys, they come in and they're younger dudes and dudettes come in and they're like, I did all this work today, nothing happened. And it's like, well, no, you do the work today for what happens down here in a month or 2 months or a year. And in your line of it, because I came from that world too. There is a very long, very long stretch for that. The sales process can be years. Right. Somebody with $1 million, whatever that you're going to put into something, can end up taking years and years.
So, yeah. So part of the process, you know, like I said, you need a process. That's the number one. Mm. And you can choose what target, what market, what people you're going to deal with. That's it. So, but the bottom line is the process. The second one for me, my second rule is that don't base things on emotions. Just like you say, if I'm going to make 100 calls today and I don't do anything, I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm going to be, oh my God, this is not going to happen. I'm not going to make money. That's basing things in emotions. I don't involve emotions in business and even in my personal life. I make decisions clear-minded based on the numbers. Mm-hmm. That's it. So emotions are out of the way because tomorrow could be very good and now you're up. And then the following day could be pretty bad and then now you're down. So you can't really base things or results based on emotion. So I always exclude that.
Eddie, how do you do that? Have you always been that way or were you ever emotional?
I think I learned that throughout the years based on, I guess everybody states, you know, it comes from home. So most of my family has been in business and they don't get attached to anything. I mean, throughout my life, I probably moved from countries, cities, and different places so many times that I don't get attached to anything. Hmm. So that, I think that helped me a little bit, but overall, that's basically what it is all about. You know, you have to think about if you're in business, you can't get attached to things. You know, if you lose a client, now you're like, oh my God, I lost a client. There's going to be many clients coming over. Stop wasting time on something that you can't control. Move forward with it. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's something that it makes me a little different than most people out there. I control my business. I control my revenue. I control the outcome. I control the people that I hire. I pretty much control my whole entire, surroundings, you know, and business and personal. Yeah. I
love that.
I believe in that pretty much. You know what I mean? I don't let things get to you because then once they get to you, you start becoming emotional and then you start thinking negative and then you're wasting time. The reality is that you're just wasting your time. Why focus on that? You know, focus on the next client. I mean, I have so many scenarios where I have clients that sign the paperwork, $1 million investments, and they change their mind. Or they say, you know what, let me think about it. I'm all right. Whenever you're ready, give me a call. If not next, you know, I want to go for the next one and the next one. And that's pretty much what I really focus on. What am I going to do next? And the pipeline, the money, everything just keeps on coming. I don't even think about it. I just think about what am I going to do next?
That just recently happened, right?
Yeah. I mean, even today, my business is up from last year over 100%. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I don't get attached to things. I don't get attached to the process that I had in place months ago. We have to adapt to current times, to current days. Every single day is going to be different. Tomorrow is going to be different. 5 years from now is going to be different. Imagine 10 years, perhaps we're going to be flying low, you know, we're not going to be driving anymore. Who knows? I mean, why get attached to yesterday or today? You know, you have to do adjustments and move forward with it.
Yep.
Well, so, I'm a Dodgers fan, so I have to be attached to yesterday.
Perhaps.
It was a long time. It was the 80s, a long time ago.
But you allow that, so that's okay. As long as you're controlling that, so you allow that, that's fine.
Sure. So what do you think has changed for you in what you do that's enabled you to double your production over the last year?
It hasn't really I guess my mentality, the way how I think, is still the same. I just got to do adjustments. I find myself right now, I think, more productive because I drive less. That's something that I do see, you know, maybe that's what my production increases.
Sure.
And that's basically it. You know, I change a little. I mean, I do the same thing as I was doing before, but in a different way. Before, I was doing seminars face to face and in person with a lot of business owners or, you know, a bunch of people, a bunch of teachers. Now I still do the same thing, but in a much easier way, virtually super simple. And it's funny because we were trying to do this for so long that now we're so busy that I can't really have enough time to do all the things that I wanted to do a few, you know, years back or a few months back. Mm. But that's the beauty of it. You have to do adjustments. And now it just makes a lot of sense. You know, it makes my life easier.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah. So last year, we'll kind of step out of here for a second. And so last year, our agency was able to get best in company with the company that we work with, right?
Yep.
Most of that is based off of production credit and life policies. So talk a little bit about that. Everybody asked me, you know, what's the secret sauce? What's the magic, right? And it's Eddie. So Eddie, what's the secret sauce? What's the magic?
Well, just to be, not to be talking smacker in any way, but we already have what we did last year for the whole year. As of today, we have more than what we had accomplished last year. And this is only almost halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
It is the process.
Right.
It is the process. And also, you know, there's a couple things that I learned through all these years working for this company, right? A lot of agents complain, oh, this guy doesn't really keep me informed. He doesn't follow up with this, with that. And he's just looking for a negative thing to comment, right? And then on the other side, you see this financial specialist same thing. Oh, these yada, yada, yada. At the end of the day, you got to get the process going and just do whatever you do best and keep each other at each. I mean, what we have is just an amazing, I guess, organization. We have a process and also departments in place that everybody's good at what they do or what they are servicing, I guess, you know, one department, sales another department, telemarketing another department, and we just focus on what we do best. Everybody has a different task.
Mm.
And nobody has that. I mean, I try to work with so many people. Nobody has that business mentality, that plan in place, that consistency, the process, you know. And basically, without a process, you don't need anybody. Not to be disrespectful in any way, because you control your own destiny, right? But if you have somebody that you can join with, hey, guess what? You're going to accomplish that even sooner.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the benefit. So basically, I do have a process. I have people in place. I got two different departments. Everybody takes care of different things. And I just close business. That's all I do.
Yep. Put the right thing in front of everybody.
Right? That's it.
And at this point, you come in as the closer.
Pretty much. I'm a financial doctor, you know?
Yep.
And I don't even sell anything. I don't sell anything at all.
So talk about that. Do you do life? Like what do you sell? Life insurance? Do you sell?
I don't sell anything.
Annuities. Like what do you do?
What do I do? I ask clients, how can I help you? What do you need from me? I'm just a tool, a resource of information for you to make an educated decision. What can I supply you with?
And what do they generally say? I mean, that's got to start a weird. I bet you a lot of people wouldn't do that because it's so open-ended that they want to know what to say. Like the comfort with selling insurance is being able to say, well, we have this, and like all the features of that thing, right? So a salesperson without that much confidence needs that to rely on so that instead of just going, hey, how can I help you? Because it's like, oh my gosh, that's going to open Pandora's box, but I'm sure that that's what they'd be scared of. So
well, the thing is, like, you can't really assume that they need life insurance or that they qualify for life insurance. That will be right. pretty much you shooting yourself in the foot, because you don't know if they qualify for it. What if their health is not, you know, insurable? So what if they don't need that? What if they have an investment account? What if they have different goals, different, you know, issues? You need to find out what is the, what can I do for you? That's it. I'm just going to give you that information for you to make an educated decision. So if you need my help, give me a call. And if not, someday you'll, you know, we'll cross paths and you're asking me for something, I'm sure. But that's pretty much it. And they open up, and sometimes, you know, people want to do a retirement account and somebody's approaching them with life insurance. They're not going to be open enough to say, you know what, can you help me with the retirement account? If you're trying to sell them life insurance, you know, they will not be open to you.
Right.
So that also helps me predict what am I going to do in the future, because I always have something in my pipeline. You know, it's like if you ask me how much I have from here to the end of the year, we'll probably have about $5 million. Will that come in this year? Maybe, maybe not. But it'll come in any sometime in the future.
Right. And how do you handle, I mean, I know one of the secrets to your success. How would you handle somebody that just wants a small policy?
Just give them what they want.
Right. And then, what is your process beyond that? Do you just bring them in right there? Like, what's your thought process on that? So you sign somebody up with something small that you know that you're not going to make that much money on the front end, right?
Right. Well, there's a couple things that I do. I go through my process, and I find out everything that they have. That's basically it. You know, I find out every single dollar, dime, nickel, anything that they have, I will find everything out. And then I can give them that education and say, hey, you know, this is what I recommend, but it's up to you. You're the boss. You decide what to do with it.
Yep.
So that's that. So maybe they will not have a big case, but guess what? Maybe their brother, their dad, their sibling, by giving that information and that option for them to make a decision, they're comfortable enough to decide, you know, to maybe refer me to somebody else. So I do that.
And how much of your business comes from, what is the percentage of your business? Where does it come from per year?
It's kind of a mix. I always, you know, I mean, you pretty much, you know, I like different resources of income. I don't like just one stream of income. Right. So, but the biggest thing is in front of you, your clients. I build the relationship with my clients. They call me when they're going to make a purchase of, you know, anything, an auto and a home, a condo. What do you think? Should I pay it off? Should I finance it? They just want, even though they know what's best for them, they just want to hear from you. That's what I want. I want that relationship. So 50% of my business comes from my current book of business. 50%.
And you provide reassurance.
Correct.
And when you do that, there's trust. And when there's trust, then they're going to help you navigate all of the stuff for them.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, that's 50%. It comes from my business. The other 50% is that what my people generate. Mm. So that's extra. So
I think that's key. So that, like, I've talked to a lot of people about this, and it's incredible that I know that Eddie gets 50% of his business from people just doing policy reviews. So every single day he has somebody calling out to book policy reviews.
Two appointments every day for policy reviews.
That's it. So you get 50% of your, and so based off that, I mean, with that 50%, that 50% alone would generate enough revenue that you'd be fine.
Correct.
So everything else is gravy. So you have an internal process that generates you enough to totally live on, but you're using the new business as supplemental, kind of, right?
Correct. Yeah.
And I think that that is one of the things that I have not seen with a lot of life and retirement specialists. It seems like for some reason, it's like we sign on that side of it. I see people signing somebody up, and then that's it.
That's
and
it.
15 years later, Yeah, they don't talk to this person at all anymore. It's almost like they're scared to talk to him.
Right, and that's my point. I always put myself as a financial doctor, right? Because you have a family doctor. How many times do you see the doctor throughout the years? Or right. within a year? Maybe twice, maybe three times, maybe four times. So why can you be that person? Because if not, somebody else is going to do it. For sure, somebody else is going to do it. And I don't want anybody else to be calling my clients. They're my clients. I can help them with, you know, that's my philosophy. I don't want anybody else to be getting in hold of my clients because they're going to reach out to my clients. So that's a key point, right? And then, I mean, as just to give you an idea, I mean, look at, you know, our agency, you know, just two reviews, this month is going to be somewhere about, well, so far we are $14,000 in production credit for this month. Last month, we did 24,000. So right now we're at 14,000 and there's like maybe another 14 to 15,000 pending that could be issued this month. That's from current clients. So my biggest cases, my biggest business come from current clients.
So then that's what other agents ask is like, well, how do you get so much new business? And it's because we're bringing them in and then cross selling them the life, right? You got to have, you can't not bring in new business and expect to just squeeze the juice out of the agency and expect to make a ridiculous amount of production, right?
Correct. You can't. I mean, we need to grow. I mean, every new client that comes in, they don't know us yet. You know what I mean? They're happy with the service, with the, whatever we provide it with, whatever insurance needs. But then after that, we get a small case or whatever case may be, that's going to start building that relationship for the future. You know, so I measure that as well. I measure if you write up a client today, that means they trust you. You did a good job explaining the benefits. And if they feel good about it, they're going to be more about 75% that they will move forward with any product, you know, a life or anything else. But then in the future, they're going to be clients that we're going to be reaching out to them once, twice a year. And that's going to build that base. Once we have the base, it's very pretty much like I mentioned before. If I don't work, I still make pretty good money, you know, to survive.
Yeah.
But why stop?
I'd like to pick both of your brains because we're talking about the agent and then the financial rep, right? And there's a partnership here. So Jason, you sell, you know, probably some of the most you provide some of the most PNC for California, like one of the biggest new item producers in California, I would say. I mean, it's probably pretty safe assumption. Right, there's some monsters, but for a newer agent, you're crushing it. And so let's say 200 new households come in a month, right?
Right.
It's something around there. Now, you close them, your producers close them. Then what happens? Do they tee it up? Do they say, hey, in congratulations, you know, blah, 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 you're going to start. In 2 days, one of Eddie's team is going to call you. Who is Eddie? Or how does that work? What does that look like? Because I think, you know, we keep talking about process, but let's map it out so somebody can actually do this thing with their guy.
Well once we, on that closing call, so most of the stuff that we lead with is auto because we can, that's the one thing that, you know, we can sell in California. So we bring them in with the auto, we cross sell them the, you know, at least mention, you know, home, a lot more renters in California, to be honest. And then on that closing call, we try to get everyone to mention life and retirement. It's part of one of the benefits. You qualify for this, right? You qualify to that you can actually get some financial advice and just sit down with Eddie and he can really help you out with all this stuff. So we try to get them to mention that on the call every single close.
Okay.
That's the goal.
And they don't talk about product. They just tee it up a little bit. Do they set an appointment or do they just say, hey, you know, this is Eddie's somebody we work with. He's going to reach out. How do they manage that expectation?
I think they do. If they're able to, you know, to set an appointment, they will, of course.
Gotcha.
We're not going to neglect that. I mean, that's just part of it. But they're really good at selling auto. So that's their main thing. Of course, and the goal is to introduce other benefits that they do qualify for at once they sign up with the auto side.
Gotcha.
But, you know, but if they don't, that's okay. My guy will call. And he just calls, say, hey, you know, just want to say thank you for, you know, trusting us with your auto insurance needs. I just want to make sure that you're aware that you do qualify for an extra benefit that no other carrier provides. Mm. And then he pauses. And they might say, well, what is it? Well, if you ever are in the need or want to learn how your 401k works, your life insurance, any investment, anything at all, you do have that resource here. Utilize this, take advantage of it. It's a tool that you have, kind of type of thing. Give us a call. And then that's it. He doesn't talk about products at all, period. I said, stop talking about products. We don't sell anything. But then at that point, you know, he might say, hey, you know what? I've been thinking about life insurance. Well, great. Let me set you up. And that's the process. And gotcha. We'll make sure that we reinforce that appointment.
Okay. Now I'm curious from a numbers perspective. So 200 households close in a month. Then of the 200, how many do you say the producers remember to bring it up? Half? All of them?
I think they probably, I think they do remember. Now, will they say it or mention it the right way? We don't know.
Sure.
But yeah, they do, you know. But at the end of the day, when my guy calls, you know, go ahead.
Okay. I'm sorry. So that's the next step is your guy calling. They tee it up, hopefully, so that when they get the call, that they expected that call. Now, your guy calls all of them.
All of them. Yep.
All of them.
All of them.
How many times does he call all of them?
Many times.
Until he gets a hold of them, right?
Pretty much. We don't stop. We just keep on going. Unless the client does not qualify, you know, based on income, health, or whatever the case may be. But we just call. We call.
Cool.
We never stop calling.
So it's similar. Your side of it is similar to
the PNC
side of it. Same thing.
It's the same thing. Same process.
Okay.
Yeah, so we bring them in. The funnel is so simple. Bring them in with the auto, mention life, try to book the appointment. Chances are it's not going to happen. I noticed that, you know, let's be honest with LSPs and stuff, they're most effective when they're really focused on one thing. So they try to focus on that one thing, try to remember all the other stuff too, but it just doesn't work.
It's hard.
All that well. It's hard. So then that's where there's another person, once they come in, that calls them, then he turns it up. So we're booking, like, I'd say 4 to 6 appointments a day at this rate.
4.5 average a day.
Is that for you, Eddie, or for one of your team?
Yeah, that's for one of my guys. The guy who calls the new clients coming in, he makes between 85 to 100 calls, and he averaged 4.5 appointments a day.
And those appointments are for you?
For
you. Okay, gotcha. So you just want to run 4 to 6 appointments a day. And if you do that, or you probably have a few of your own too. So you have 10 appointments going or whatever. And if you do that, then you're going to close one and you get your number.
Yeah, we pretty much close one a day and then life. And then we do maybe 1, 2, sometimes 2, but 1 rollover a week.
Gotcha. And those come from the same thing?
Same thing. 50% from my book of business, new clients. I mean, it's just a combination that we have. And based on that formula, it's fine. Same thing with the PNC. It's 150 calls. You know, we quoted 5% out of that. So based on that, we generating 200 clients a month.
There you go. I think the probably the biggest drop off that nobody does is that middle part, right? It's everybody writes, well, most agents write the PNC, and then most agents have the person helping with the back end. But where the disconnect is there's no activity in the middle happening, right?
Maybe
the LSP finds a couple, and maybe the financial person calls a couple, but there's always the, no, he didn't. No, they didn't. No, it's just back and forth pointing, right? When all you need is somebody making 100 dials a day to those, to the new business, and actually to the whole book. Who cares, right? Correct. To everybody.
Correct.
And you will get the business because it's the same thing.
Yeah, that's
same
it.
Same thing.
That's it.
Right. That's it. Yep. So I've, like, been doing, yeah, I've been doing this for so long, you know, 75 calls a day, 2 appointments a day. So now my people are doing it. I'm not doing it, but they're doing it. And I get 6 to 7 appointments every single day for some time in the future, you know. So it's just a numbers thing, and it's a discipline, consistency, and a process. Don't, you know, and here's one agent that I'm helping with. She's like, well, Eddie, you know, I'm having really hard time for my LSPs to introduce this or to make calls. Well, fire them. Very simple. Fire everybody. Get new people and tell them, I expect for you to make 150 calls every single day. That's the number one task. Why? By doing that, they're going to pay themselves and they're going to make extra money for you. Mm-hmm. That's how I see it.
Yeah.
If they you're hurting your own business. You're the one. Nobody else.
If they don't make calls or they don't have transfers coming to them, they're not going to do quotes.
Right.
Like, quotes don't just magically appear.
They don't.
They don't. As much as you want them to, they don't.
Right. So that's pretty much it. I mean, it's so simple. That's something that, you know, we also figure it out. Everybody has an issue with, oh, I can't find good people. Mm-hmm.
How many people did you interview?
Right. How many people?
None. I mean,
do you have that as an agenda? We do have that. Right. You know, like every week you need to interview 1 or 2 people, even if you don't need them. But if you find the rock star there, guess what?
You take them.
Take him. And it might take like 30 minutes of your day. Really? Is that a problem? I don't think so. Right?
I just
see how you two get along. It is great.
Well, it's pretty funny. I was telling Jason, you know, it's very difficult to find somebody who has the same mentality or the same goals or the same, you know, ways to see life or business. It's difficult, you know, because everybody, most people complain. I'm like, stop wasting time. What are you doing right. about it? What are you doing about it? You know, it's like, let's do this. And we just do it. I mean, since day one, right? I mean, I remember we met and I said, all right, this is what we're going to do. You take care of the auto, I take care of the life. That's it. Simple as that. Let's not break the, you know, relationship.
Yeah. And at first it was like, well, what if somebody comes into the agent? Because I was new and this is what other agents told me. Well, and I was like, well, what if somebody comes into the agency, wants me to, you know, wants to write a policy through me? And then you said, well, then send them over to me. Right?
Right.
I said, okay. But then and then right when you said that, I was like, well, this is actually really relieving because now I can focus on what I do and I know you're going to handle that because you want to handle it all, which was relieving. A lot of people think like, you know, money wise, right? What if a big thing comes in?
Who cares?
It's like,
well, that's
who cares?
The problem. You know, I mean, people think greed.
Yeah.
I mean, I fire a few agents, you know, because of that. You know, like, dude, you know, like, you're supposed to be on your own, I'm supposed to be on my own, let's make it a great business, you know, and at the end of the day, I'm going to make my money regardless. So we're going to team up. What's the benefit for you and me? We have to make it better and much better, you know what I mean? And that's the whole issue with a lot of partnerships that they don't succeed or they're not successful because of that greed, you know, like, oh, I got a big case. So what? I mean, that big case can generate 2-3 cases in the future. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So stay, just be honest and work hard and that's it. And I think that's one of the biggest issues with this partnership thing, you know?
You got to stick with it. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I said, we don't have the problem. It's just basically one agency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you stick to your specialty. Everybody's got to be specialized and stick to it. You know, like you could do commercial, you could do this, you could sell surfboards and freaking food, but it doesn't matter. If you focus on the one thing you're good at, you're going to do a lot more of it than trying to do everything.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, like Eddie knows that we're going to grow at a certain rate by the end of the year, guaranteed. I mean, that's what we set in place with our process, right?
Right.
And then I know Eddie's going to grow at a certain rate. So we don't have to worry about like the numbers every year. We don't have to worry about it. it's gonna happen because we both specialize in our areas.
Yeah, I mean, as of year today, we have 70,000 in production credit.
Love 70, it. I didn't even 000. Know that exact
right.
number.
But that's because you're not worried about it, right?
No.
So that's my point. It's like, you know what? And I always tell Jason, you need to grow as much as you can because it's going to benefit you in so many different ways. So just focus on that. Let me focus on this.
Yep.
So we're at 70,000. If by the end, if we keep on going this rate, which is, I don't think, why wouldn't it should be even more? We're going to end up somewhere about, you know, between 100 and 150,000 in PC for the year. Who does that, honestly? I mean, I met a lot of agents, and they're having a hard time getting 15 to 20,000 in production credit for the year.
Yep.
We do this on a monthly basis.
That's awesome. You guys are crushing it. So let me ask you, Eddie, if there was one piece of advice, and I think that this thing was filled with knowledge nuggets just all through, and it's all common sense too, you know, but if there was one piece of advice you'd give to an agent coming in from your financial side of it, what would you say to them?
Have a process in place and don't make decisions based on emotions. That's it.
That's it.
Love it.
Drop the mic.
That's it.
Awesome. Oh man, Eddie, thank you so much. This is awesome. It was great. You think you'd come back and do a Eddie part two at some point?
Of course, whenever you guys want to.
Let's do it.
Well, cool. Thank you for joining us on the Insurance Dudes, and we will chat soon.
Fair enough.
All right.
Hey, you've got to check out the Insurance Dudes Inner Circle, coming soon, where you get extended interviews as well as live coffee talks in our private Facebook group. Join the mailing list today at theinsurancedudespodcast.com. Hey, thanks for checking out the Insurance Dudes. Hey, please subscribe. We got some really great stuff coming out.